Good morning to each of you. A special greeting to those of you who are visiting with us. You may be indeed fortunate this morning because there are several people here that I'm going to be looking at while I'm preaching. And if enough people are moving their lips and they know the sermon by heart, I won't preach it anymore for a while. Otherwise, you may hear it again. She has been dead for more than 50 years. But my third grade teacher, Miss Clara, taught us the heart of the New Testament. She said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I see her and I hear her saying, that is the sum of what God did for us. That was in public school, in the third grade. She taught us many things about God. We have listened this morning, the scriptures, the prayers, and indeed, they all point us in one direction, to God and the love of God. This love is an all-encompassing love. It is, as we will be seeing again, thanks to those who read the scriptures and who prayed, God is in our midst today because of what you did. But we will look at this passage that God has given us to tell us about Himself and about Jesus. I've been struggling to try to keep from saying anything, but it didn't work. Okay? There are some people here today who are very dear to me. And I remember at our 50th wedding anniversary, which was about 100 years ago now, but there were some young people there who now have grown up. And they're here today. And I'm grateful. Now, their parents had already grown up, but they have enlarged a little bit, so they are just greater people than they were then, but I'm so glad they're here. When we read this passage from God, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much God loves us. I look at our world today and all the commotion that's going on in our government and in the world and in many churches. And there's something missing. What is missing is the heart of the whole matter. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians by inspiration of God, in the 12th chapter, he talked about those special gifts that God had given. I did something in that 50th wedding anniversary, and I see the crowd. We had a wonderful crowd that day. The building was full. A bunch of them belonged to our family, but I started by trying to get the attention of the little folks. And I said, "How many of you little folks would like to speak another language?" And I got some response, as I always do. I'd like to speak another language too, but all I do is jibber-jabber when I get to where I can't speak what English I know. So, but when Paul talks to the Corinthians, when he writes to them and tells them about these gifts, and they're good, but he says, "And I will show you a more excellent way." That's what we're talking about today. The people who have read about love, we have sung about love, those beautiful songs that our song leader selected. But I'd like to share just a few things with you for the next few moments. What I will be reading will be from the RSV 1901 edition. It will be just a little different, probably from anything else you have, but listen carefully. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. You know how to spell Christian, don't you? C-H-R-I-S-T. Christ is first. Then I-A-N. Without Christ, I am nothing. I-A-N. He said, if I deliver my body, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now there's a whole lot of stuff on this outline. And you just right now thank God that I'm not going to do all of it, okay? You'll have lunch a lot sooner. I want to tell you that what we're reading here is a description, not a definition of love. And we see what love does, how it behaves. I want to take just a moment to tell you that if we have everything else, it doesn't matter what we have, if we do not have love, we are devoid of eternal life. Because the love that Jesus showed us, the love that God showed us, God gave us a gift that is so unbelievable that most people don't even regard it. But we know it's so great. Love is patient and kind. Ever say to one of your kids, or your wife, or husband, "What do you want?" Isn't that kind? No, it's not kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Folks, if it were not for this love that he describes to us, our world would be destroyed. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." What is he talking about? He's talking about how we act like God and how we act like Jesus. Now, the end of that is love never. I mean, they're over and they're done. And for some of them, we're glad. But not love. Love does not end. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never gives up. Those are other translations. You see, the translators didn't and still don't know exactly how to put it in the right words. Love is the powerful force that takes us through everything or anything. Love never ends. Now he says, prophecies will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love, abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Without love, and without having that love, we cannot survive. It takes us through. I know that some of you are raising children. And sometimes you just wonder if there's enough love to be able to get them through. I backed a young man against the wall whose life had been virtually destroyed. And I was chewing on him. He was 14 years old. And as I was chewing on him, and I regret that I did, but I was there, I was a parent, I was upset. He had done things that got him in trouble with the law. And he looked at me and he said, "Nobody loves me." He said it out loud. "Nobody loves me." And I said to him something that could not be true, is not true, but I believed it. I said, "If it takes me the rest of my life, I will prove to you that I love you." Kind of ended the conversation. You know, I told you he was 14. He wrote me a letter when he was 50. I still have it. Finally, he did understand that Shirley and I loved him. He was Shirley's brother. But it's important for us to realize that love is that power. Love is that force. That never ends. The greatest force in our world. Now I want to talk to you just a minute or two. I've got a whole lot of stuff that I'd like to say. And I've prayed more than anything else that God would help me not to keep you too long today. Because that negates the good we do sometimes. But I serve this congregation with three godly men. We think alike. We pray alike. We don't have to argue about things. God saw fit to put us together so that we could try to do something. The goal that we have is for the love of God to be strong in this congregation, for it to grow and prosper in the sight of God, and for us to be able to do what love can do. Love is powerful. It is so powerful that it is the force that God gave you and me to be able to overcome any obstacle and every obstacle that we have. We need to constantly pray together and to realize that no matter what else we do, love has to be first. Love has to be the force. If someone really chews on you and does or says something that they shouldn't, have you ever done it? And you look at them and say, "But I love you." They'll turn into not a pillar of salt, but a pile of sugar. It works. But if we argue and fuss, or we have to have our way, remember, he said about love, that love does not insist on its own way. It's not arrogant or rude. How many people do you know that you really like to be around who are arrogant and rude? Someone has said about someone, "Wow, if I could just buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, I'd be rich." Maybe you've never seen anybody like that, but there are people in the world like that. But we don't want to be like that. We want to be like Jesus. And even though she has been dead for all of these years, I still have something that I didn't have at home. I didn't have any idea what John 3:16 taught. My parents loved me, but they didn't know much about God. They've both been dead for many years, but they did know God because of things God allowed me to do. They became God's children. And I look forward to embracing them in the arms of God. I trust and pray that you have some very strong work going on for God. I'd like to stop and compliment individuals this morning. I get in trouble for trying to do that every once in a while, but you'll just have to put up with it. But today you won't. I am so grateful for each of you. A lady went out years ago, and I knew that she wasn't feeling good out from church service. And I said, "I love you." And she retorted, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes." "Why do you love me?" And I said, "Because Jesus loves you." She wasn't still very amenable to that, but she couldn't overcome it. It's important for us to tell one another, "I love you." Don't be afraid to say that. And realize that that love comes from Jesus. In finality this morning from John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus is talking to a woman at the well in Sychar. And Jesus told her, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe that has been happening here today. I haven't seen you yawning or going to sleep, and I appreciate that, so I'm going to turn you loose here in a minute. I appreciate your love for God. I appreciate the talent and abilities that are in this congregation. And as a shepherd of God's sheep, I am going to do my best to make your life for God as full as I can. And I know my fellow elders will do the same. If today there is something you need to do that you haven't done, if you need to do it publicly, if you need help for that, with that, then come forward while we stand and sing.